And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we'll pick up our study here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we have here the beginning of going into what I call the Lord's teaching of his church between the hymn and Gethsemane. This is after the Lord has instituted the Lord's Supper. He has observed the Passover with his church, and from that he has created the institution, the ordinance rather, of the Lord's Supper for his church. And he begins now, as they are preparing in this chapter 14, they're looking to leave that upper room and go towards Gethsemane. At the end of this chapter, we want to see that the Lord indicates that they are to arise and let us go hence. And at that point, they will begin to go towards Gethsemane. And as they walk on the way, it seems that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teaches his disciples. Here he's told them in the beginning of this chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Philip and Thomas, he deals with them, and where they just do not understand that Jesus is the manifestation of God, God incarnate. And he speaks to them about those things. And he talks about how the Father has worked in him. And we pick it up in verse 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake." The things that Jesus as a man has done has been by the power of God. He is God, come down and become a man. And by the power of God has been able to do miraculous things more than any other that has ever lived. "Verily, verily," verse 12, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me," on Jesus, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And I believe that this is a promise that Jesus is going to empower his disciples, his apostles, to do things that they had not been able to do before. They're going to be able to do things as Jesus had done for a testimony and witness in that time of transition of the keys of the kingdom. The knowledge of salvation of the Lord is going to be transferred, is being transferred from Israel, his nation, God's nation, to his church. Israel has been disobedient. It is time for the Lord to build his church. It's time for him to bring in salvation to the Gentiles in a great and glorious way. And so he's going to give the ability to his disciples to be able to do miracles like he had done. I believe that's what it's talking about. Until it comes to the time that we have the scripture, when the apostles, other brethren, the apostle Paul will write and write the gospels, write the epistles to the churches, Peter and the Apostle Paul writing other epistles like the Timothy and Titus and Peter's epistles, Jude also writing the book of Revelation by the Apostle John, and until we have that word. And now that we have that word, Peter tells us in his epistles, we have a more sure word of prophecy, a scripture that has been given by God through these men, the New Testament, as we refer to it, in the Bible. And of course, the scripture bears out that having received the Word of God and having received even the New Testament scriptures, There will be no further need for miraculous miracles to be wrought, to be done at the hands of the Lord's disciples. Why? Because we have the Word of God. And that's the day in which we live now. The Lord indeed still does miracles. I believe that. I know that that's so. We've all known of situations and folks where the Lord has worked miraculously in them and in their lives. The Lord has answered prayer, answered the prayer of His people for the supplication of those that they have a desire for help from the Lord. We know the Lord works miracles yet today. But we live now in a day, having the Word of God, the Lord does no longer work to where men can do miraculous miracles as they did at that time. Why? Because we have the Word of God. There's not a necessity for that witness that way to be at hand. So the Lord does work miracles, but He just doesn't do it by the hands of people. Now you're going to, maybe there's some under the hearing of my voice that would disagree with that, and there are those that disagree with that. My question is that if someone is able to miraculously work miracles, why don't they go to Children's Hospital and heal those children there? Why don't they go to the hospitals, go to the intensive care units where people are gravely ill, have been in accidents and gravely injured? Why don't they go there and heal? Why is it that the healing that's done is just some esoteric kind of thing there's a deformity in the liver, or there's some blight on the kidneys or something like that? Why isn't it that those that claim that they have miraculous power of the Lord to go and heal, why don't they go and heal? Generally what happens then is they defer to a lack of faith on the part of the person to heal. But Jesus, we see, there were those that did come to Him for healing, and He did make mention that their faith had made them whole and had healed them, their faith in the Lord to do so, and He did so. But then there are others that the Lord just came upon, and when they did not inquire or seek the Lord's help and blessing, He yet healed them anyway. And so true power of the Lord, I believe, and according to the scriptures, it reveals that it would be performed that way. Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He's going to leave, go back to the Father, and leave His church here upon this earth, and He will leave the disciples and the apostles there, and will empower them to do miracles in His stead for that time of transition. Verse number 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And so here He gives indication about asking, praying. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. He has instructed us to pray in His name and to the Father. Understand that prayer is not just some a form or package of words that said like an incantation, that witches and warlocks would use to try to incite something to come about. But prayer is requesting of God. A prayer to the Lord is requesting of Him that He would work, and that He would move, and that He would be active in the thing that we desire. And He says here, "Ask in my name, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now we know and understand that it is so that everything we would ask for, we do not receive. It is essential, and the scripture bears out, that we pray according to the will of the Lord. That we ask not amiss, as James tells us. And many times that's the way it is that we would pray. But our prayer always needs to be, "Lord, here's my need, not my want, And maybe we would even ask the Lord for some wants that we have. We need to be careful about that. But here's the need at hand, and here's the working. Lord, I pray that you would give this or do this or work in this way. But we always need to defer to what the Lord Jesus himself did as he gave the model prayer. Nevertheless, thy will be done, as he prayed even for himself there in the garden. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We ask for that which we desire, but we always yield to what the Lord's will is. Okay? Why? Because in everything that we ask of the Lord, our goal, our desire needs to be that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So I may ask the Lord for a new Mercedes or a big four-wheel drive pickup truck or something like that, but will the Lord be glorified in that? I have no need for such things, yet just to have them and enjoy them myself. But if there is a need, indeed the Lord wants to hear from us, and we need to seek to pray according to his will and pray in the name of the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so a great promise from the Lord, great help for us as his children. We can go to the Lord for a help in this life, and the need that we have, we can take it to him, knowing he understands, knowing that he knows what the needs are, and knowing that he has promised that he will work. In verse number 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here this is the problem that many have, claiming the name of Christ, saying that they know Jesus, saying that they believe that Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary, but have no witness or testimony in their life of obeying anything that the Lord has ever said. I find it interesting when I would go and preach, namely at the jails, and I would ask those there in the jails, how is it that the soul of the sinner is saved? And many would say, well, keeping the Ten Commandments. And so I would say, well, okay, that being the case, do you believe that the salvation of your soul is based on you keeping the Ten Commandments of the Lord? What are they? And then 9.5 times out of 10, we find that the person that has said that does not even know what the Ten Commandments are. Cheap talk. Talk is always cheap. But the Lord says, what we do shows what we believe. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Someone that claims that they love the Lord, but yet does not know what he is commanded to be done, nor does what he is commanded to be done, does not love the Lord. And the thing is we may seek to fake one another out. We can certainly fake one another out. I can make you think that I'm some good, right, religious thing by man's estimation. But the Lord knows the truth. And may the Lord help us that we just get honest before the Lord. If you're here under the hearing of my voice, sinner, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in him for the salvation of your soul. Well, see, their time has passed for now. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.